It is a joy to be here today, and I want to say thank you to Ross and to the elders for inviting me to speak today and giving me the privilege of being here and continuing to navigate our journey in the book of Luke together. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, here we are to meet you in the word and be helped. Speak to us, we ask. Help me to be faithful to the Bible, and may the truth of the Bible be in each of us today. Honor yourself in us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you know that psalm? That's Psalm 118 and verse 24, and I just love that. That's what's on my heart today. And out of the continued journey in the book of Luke, we're going to find this word joy and the word rejoicing. In fact, the Lord goes so far with the disciples to tell them that they've got to leap for joy, whatever that might mean. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I just love that little verse from the Psalms. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was born and bred in Wellington, and I remember coming up out of the Wellington Railway Station one of those lovely Wellington windy days with umbrellas turning inside out and all that sort of thing. And I knew a young man, and I accidentally met him as his umbrella turned out, and that's what he said to me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In the midst of one of Wellington's storms. I didn't plan to say that. I don't know why I say that. So our theme today, we're going to pick out of the middle. That's verse 23, if you're already looking in Luke chapter 6. We continue in our studies. Last week, Aidan took us up the mountainside. Jesus went up the mountainside, and there he chose his 12 disciples. Remember how Jesus spent the whole night in prayer? Have you ever done that? Can't say that I've ever spent a whole night in prayer. He had a pretty important decision to make, and he spent the whole night in prayer. Thank you, Aidan, for the blessing and the encouragement you shared with us last week. Now we see that Jesus and his disciples come down the mountain. And we see that most of the rest of chapter 6 is Jesus' words. If you've got a red letter Bible, you'll have it, and you have it open at Luke chapter 6, you'll see that most of that chapter is red. It's Jesus' own words. And we're just right at the beginning of it today. And Ross is going to carry on with it next week, and then we carry on the journey through chapter 6, and mostly these are the words of Jesus. Today's passage is from verse 17 to verse 26. Verse 17 to 19, I'm calling the setting. The blessings are shared with us in verses 20 to 23. Some Bibles will use the word woes that we don't use very much, so I'm using a little bit the word sorrows today. And I'm picking verse 20, that's 24 to 26, but I'm picking verse 23 out of the middle, and we're going to finish up with that verse. That's the verse where the disciples are told to rejoice, and they're told to leap for joy. So let's enjoy our Bible reading together from Luke chapter 6. The words are going to come up on the screen, I know. Got three parts to our reading. The first part I'm calling the setting. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled with impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. That's the setting, and we'll come back and look at it in a moment. The second part is the blessing. So now we're coming to the continued reading, and we're picking our reading up here from verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he, that is Jesus, said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Let me read that verse again. That's my key verse for today. Rejoice in that day, this is verse 23, and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. The third part of our reading comes to us from verse 24 through verse 26, the sorrows. But woe, here's the but, and I love the buts in Scripture. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how the fathers treated the false prophets. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word together. We'll go back to the beginning, back to the verse 17. I love this first phrase. It's a good example of what we should be doing with the scriptures. We need to take the scriptures and ask questions of it as we read. And look at verse 17 there. Verse 17 says, "And he went down with them and stood on a level place." We need to ask four questions immediately. Who's the he? Where did he go down from? Who did he go down with? And where was the level place? We need to approach scripture like that. Ask questions. What's one of the simple ways to find the answers to these questions? It's simply to read the context. So if we go back to where Aidan was last week, we get the answer to most of those questions. The he is Jesus. The mountains it came down for is referred to as the mountainside. We're not told what mountain it is. The trick is that in New Zealand, we think of a mountain as Ruapehu or Narahoe or Egmont or Mount Cook. It's probably not those sort of mountains that's been spoken of here. We'd probably call them a hill in New Zealand today. And I won't start naming all the hills around Hamilton or I'll get into trouble. But it's probably more like a hill that people could wander up and Jesus was there, rather than having to do a bit of mountaineering in our terminology today. Who was the them that he was with? The them that he was with the disciples as they came down with him. But the interesting thing is they found other disciples down there as well. And where was the level place? Again, we're not actually told. It's probably not near Jerusalem. It's probably not. We're given a little bit of a clue because of the people came. A large crowd of disciples were there and a great number of people from Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And if you can visualize a map of Jerusalem and of Judea down here, and you can think of the coast, well, the coast that way is Tyre and Sidon up there. But probably they're in the hills near Galilee. They're probably in the hills near Capernaum. That's what most commentaries today seem to think it was. Largely speaking, Jesus had two types of people around him, two types of people who were listening to him. There were those he called disciples, and there's almost like two groups of disciples. There's the 12, the chosen that he's just chosen up the mountain, but then there's that broader group of disciples who are people who are following him. But then there's the non-disciples, that those that don't want to follow him. And we could speculate and say all sorts of people were trying to trap Jesus. And some of them were. And maybe some of them came from Jerusalem and down that way. And they were trying to trap Jesus and sort him out and see what he was teaching about. So there's quite a mix of people. We could sort of divide it up. Why they came? They came for several reasons. We're told they came to hear him. They came to be healed of their diseases. And they came to be cured of impure spirits. Scripture tells us very clearly that. And what happened? The people all tried to touch Jesus. Power was coming from him. And they were being healed. It must have been an amazing time to be there. An amazing event was happening. They were coming and they were looking for Jesus, and he had been up further up the hill with the disciples, and then he comes down, and that's why the people were there. They were there to hear what he was saying. They were there to be healed of their diseases. They were there to be cured of impure spirits. Those are the sort of things they'd come for and what was happening. And this is the setting. And Jesus then turns to those following him. He turns to his disciples, those who are with him, and he brings the blessings, and he brings the sorrows. Look at the next slide. No, we'll go to slide 8, I think it is. That's the one. Some of those words might be hard to read, and I need to be educated a little bit about how to highlight stuff and make it still legible with the skills that I have or don't have, whatever. I think you'll get what I'm trying to put here. This is how that's purely the words out of the Bible on the screen. All right, okay? And Jesus looking at his disciples, that's an important statement. Jesus is looking at the disciples. These are people who were wanting to learn from him, who were wanting to follow him. And he looks at the disciples and look at the four statements he makes. Now, some of your minds have gone to Matthew's account. Matthew's account of what we call the Beatitudes. How many of them are there? Anybody know? How many has Matthew got in his account? Luke's got 4 blesseds. Matthew's got 9. Okay? Now, some suggest this may not necessarily be Luke and Matthew writing an account of the same event. It's certainly Luke and Matthew writing about the same man, Jesus, and certainly writing about the same sort of things that Jesus is teaching, but it may not necessarily be the same event. Luke has those 4 in yellow. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who weep now. And then blessed are you when people hate you. And then it goes on and says when they exclude you and they insult you and they reject your name as evil. Because of or for the Son of Man. These 4 blessings are quite amazing. Look at that side of the screen. No, look at that side of the screen. I'm seeing it down there, not up here, aren't I? Yeah. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. This is one of the most important statements on the screen. And we can take that statement for us today. Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the people of that day, they were poor, a lot of them, because they had to give up everything to follow Jesus. But blessed are you if you're following Jesus, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And so we look, and we're going to talk about this again in a moment. We're looking ahead to the coming day. We're looking ahead to a day when we will be with our God. And Jesus said to them, blessed are you poor. Yours is the kingdom. Then he very quickly, he says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. And again, he's looking to that day when satisfaction will come. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, they exclude you and they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Another way of putting this, they reject you because of the way you are living for the Son of Man. Maybe today, there are some people here who have members of their family who don't want to follow Jesus. And it's hard, because you just love to give the Lord to them. You just love to bring them into faith. But maybe they're a bit like this, what we've just been reading. That's a strong word, isn't it? They hate you, they exclude you, they insult you, they reject your name as evil because of the way you live for the Son of Man. Look at the first blessing at the top, the first yellow words. Just look out the side there. And for yours is the kingdom of God. And then we come down further down, because of or for the Son of Man. Those are important statements for us to remember. There's that phrase again that we've highlighted already in Luke, Son of Man. For that is how their ancestors treated. Come on to the next slide. And we move from the blessings to the sorrows. And there's that but. I'd love to develop the whole idea of buts in Scripture. There are some great ones, aren't there, Ross? Some beautiful buts. And here Jesus is saying, but woe. What's woe mean? It's not a term we use much in our society. You probably only use it when we're riding a horse or something. But what does this woe mean here? A woe is a warning, it's a cursing, it's a sorrow. One commentator put it this way: woes are denounced against the prospering sinners as miserable people. I quite like that. Prospering sinners as miserable. See, prospering sinners don't know the joys of knowing Christ. And that's how he could turn and can bring the concept of the sorrows in as well. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are well fed. Woe to you who laugh. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, etc. For that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Now there's a bit of a test coming. Come to the next slide, and I've taken the previous two slides and condensed them as to one. Whoa. It's too many words. It's too hard, isn't it? But just stick with me for a minute. I'm going to take verse 23 out of the middle. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. That's coming. We'll come there in a moment. So go to the next slide, and we take verse 23 out of the middle, and this one's fractionally bigger. So here we go. The amazing thing that Jesus said, and the amazing way that Luke recorded it, is the comparison between the blessings, and I'm going to use the word woe because it's on the screen, the blessings and the woes, or the blessings and the sorrows. Look at the first blessing. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now look at the first woe. But woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. See the word rich with a little bit of gray behind it, and the word poor? This is the contrast in the way Jesus spoke these words. Isn't it amazing? Look at the next one, the second blessed. Blessed are you who are, and the color's not so good here, is it? Hunger now, for you will be satisfied. And look down to the second woe. Woe to you who are well fed. There's the comparison. There's the contrast between hunger and being well fed. The next one's the same, the third blessing. Blessed are you, and it's in the blue there, who weep now, for you will laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And the fourth yellow there, the fourth blessed. Blessed are you when people hate you. And I'll stop there for the moment. And the fourth of the woes. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. For this is how they treated the false prophets. Can you see the comparison there? Can you see the way Jesus has structured what he was saying? It's brilliant. And so we have this comparison, this structure. Now we're going to go to the next slide, and we're going to see what Jesus popped in the middle. And I've just highlighted that verse 23 there. Rejoice in that day. In what day? We go back and we look. We don't have to go back on the slide, but we go back in our minds to what we've just been reading about. We go back to what we've just been thinking about. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Blessed. What a blessing. What a wonderful day. A rejoicing. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Do you see the reason for joy? Do you see the reason for joy? The reason for joy, I believe, is not the blessings, just the blessings. The reason for joy is because great is your reward in heaven. Yes, you have the blessings now. We have the reward of knowing who Jesus is. These disciples had the reward of being able to be with him where he was and to hear him teaching. But their greatest blessing, their greatest reward, was yet to come in glory. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. And that's what we need to grasp today. We need to go out of here leaping for joy. Where does that word come? It's an Old Testament phrase. It's an Old Testament phrase. Psalm 28 in verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Don't you love that verse? I love it. It's got that little musical twist at the end of it. It's beautiful. I haven't done it yet, but I'm wanting to print that one out and stick it up on the wall at home for a little while. It's going to become my verse from today anyway. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. When did your heart last leap for joy? When did the mention of Jesus' name last cause your heart to leap inside? Say, yes, he's my Savior. You know, there's a coming day when we will be in his presence, when we will be in the Father's presence. Psalm 16:11 says, you made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, there's another glimpse into heaven. There's going to be joy in heaven, so why not start now? Because that's where we belong. That's where we're going. You made known to me, the psalmist said to the Lord, you made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. We've got that to look forward to. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Our greatest joy, our greatest reward, our greatest pleasure is God himself. And we will be in the presence of our God. That day is coming. Wow, I get a bit emotional about that one. That's where we're going to be. We'll have a place to be with God forever. We'll have a new body, no more pain, no more sickness, no more replacement for knees or whatever. We're going to be in his presence and be with him forever. Restored relationships, renewed friendships. There's going to be an amazing go on when we get to heaven. But our being, our thinking will be totally on him, our God and his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is joy? What is rejoicing? Let me share one or two quotes. I think probably some of you realize I love little quotes. I've got one from a person called Anon. So I don't quite know who this was. If you have no joy, you've missed the heart of the gospel. Wow, I like that. If you have no joy, you've missed the heart of the gospel, and our bodies as much as our souls will suffer the consequence. Wow. Here's a good one, being in a Baptist church. C.H. Spurgeon, a good Baptist preacher of about 100 years ago, mainly in London, but around that area, he had this to say, when the heart is full of joy, it always allows its joy to escape. The only full heart is an overflowing heart. That was C.H. Spurgeon. Do you like that? Let me read it again. When the heart is full of joy, it always allows its joy to escape. The only full heart is the overflowing heart. Is your heart overflowing with joy? Wow. One of those songs, and you can ask me which one it was now. I had to stop at one point. It was just too good. It really was. It was lovely. Just music and the words sometimes do that to you. Full of joy, so you can't sing anymore. Faye and I are part of a home group, and I won't ask you all to stand up who are part of the home group. We won't embarrass you, but we've had a good time. Working through a book written by a man called Jerry Bridges on trusting God. But he also said this. Jerry Bridges said this. True joy comes only from God, and he shares his joy with those who walk in fellowship with him. True joy comes only from God, and he shares his joy with those who walk in fellowship with him. I like short quotes, but I have a longer one here because I think it's good for us today, this particular quote. I'll tell you at the end who it comes from. Under the heading of spiritual joy is, bear with me, it's just a slightly longer quote than I've used. Spiritual joy is the settled conviction that God sovereignly controls the events of life for the believer's good and for his glory. Spiritual joy is not an attitude dependent on chance or circumstance. It is the deep and abiding confidence that regardless of one's circumstances in life, all is well between the believer and the Lord. No matter what difficulty, pain, disappointment, failure, rejection, or other challenge one is facing, genuine joy remains because of that eternal well-being established by God in His grace and salvation. Thus, Scripture makes it clear that the fullest, most lasting, and satisfying joy is derived from a true relationship with God. It is not based on circumstances or chance, but is the gracious and permanent possession of every child of God. If you'd like that quote, tell me later and I'll send it to you. That was a quote from John MacArthur. I'll get told off for this next quote. I had a young lady come and sit beside me at my desk and she said to me, "Joy comes from God, happiness comes from people. Joy comes from God, happiness comes from happenings." Do you like that? You'll have to find out who that was. Yeah. I've got more quotes here than I've got time to share with you. You're getting the feeling of what joy is all about? It's about you and God. And he said, this is what Jesus was saying. This is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Rejoice in that day when things seem to be getting hard, when things don't seem to be being accepted by people who see your faith but don't want it. And Jesus says, rejoice. Leap for joy. I just love that thought of, maybe it is a physical thing we need to do sometimes. I don't know how quite we're going to work that as a church, but make our hearts, like the psalmist said, leap for joy. I've got a document that was written a few years ago, about 20 years ago, and it's on the subject of the joy of living in Christ Jesus. Why do so many Christians fail to rejoice, with special reference to the book of Philippians? I just want to read a couple of quick quotes here. Jesus not only lived joy in his relationships with people, but he also taught about joy very clearly. He taught that we are to rejoice no matter how severe the difficulty is. Matthew tells of Jesus sitting on a mountainside teaching his disciples what we've now come to know as the Beatitudes. He said that they were blessed when people insulted them, persecuted them, and harshly said all kinds of evil things against them because of him. Then he said these amazing words, "Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." That was from Matthew 5. Luke has a very similar passage speaking of being hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected because of the Lord. He records Jesus as saying, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." That's Luke 6, exactly where we are. Persecution and suffering for the name of Christ were to be seen as a reason for joy, not as a reason for sorrow and sadness. Jesus used parables to speak of the realities of the kingdom of God and often spoke of joy that was there. The best example of this is the parable of the lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." One other quick quote. This is a quote that comes from somebody, some of you will know the name Martin Lloyd-Jones. He made this comment, and I'll just read a sentence introducing it. They were showing their joy and love for the Lord in the midst of what to many would have seemed an impossible situation. It was not an easy situation at all. Being in a prison in Rome while awaiting trial. We hear Jesus' words from Philippians, Paul's words from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And the quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones, Paul's secret of contentment emerges from a universal principle of human nature. It is to trust God regardless of the circumstances and not to expect too much perfection in this life. A better day is coming for those whose source of contentment is in the personhood of Jesus Christ. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? We'll go to slide 13. There's a summary for us today. Rejoice today, leap for joy, great is your reward in heaven. It's straight out of verse 23 there. We need to have an eternal perspective. We need to live out with our eyes on heaven. We need to live with our hearts in heaven. We could spend much time looking at joy. I spoke to somebody on the phone at the beginning of this week. It was actually in a prayer meeting, a Zoom prayer meeting. If you can't get to the prayer meeting here, do join me on Zoom. There's a Zoom prayer meeting link. It comes out from the office. And we talked about this whole concept of joy and how much we could spend a lot of time studying joy in the Bible and what it really means. I'm trying at the moment to reduce each passage that I speak on down to one word. And what do you reckon the one word would be for today?
Rejoice.
I didn't see who that was. That's okay. Next slide gives us that one word. There it is. And I want you to go with joy in your faces, to go with joy in your heart. I look around and I see some people, they wear their joy on their faces. And I just love that. They wear their joy on their faces. I see some people and they speak their joy in their words. Some people show their joy by their actions. Some people live their joy by their attitudes. And some people, here it is, sing their joy in their songs. I didn't have to twist Ross's arm too far to introduce that new song this morning. Can you see why we've done it? So what are we going to do now? We're going to stand up again in a moment and we're going to sing verse 3 and two choruses. I love to look at a song and find a favorite verse, and verse 3 is my favorite verse. We're going to do that, but before we do, let me pray. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray this prayer as though it's a personal prayer of my own, and you join me if you would like to quietly in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, please instill in me the attitude of joy, no matter what my circumstance may be. I pray that your joy will radiate deep within my soul. Thank you for those who've gone before me and have shown me in your word that joy can be real. God, I know that it's your promise to me that if I walk in your path, then there's going to be joy in my life. God, I pray that I don't wander from the path, but that I continue following the way that you have set before me. I thank you, Father, for the joy of knowing who you are, and I pray to be filled with it daily and to share it with others, with those around me. Thank you for this day. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name, your Son, our precious Savior. Amen.